eyebrows were raised all across the valley this morning when Adam Schefter tweeted out and then mentioned on Get Up this morning.
Well, the Cardinals restructured the contract of Chandler Jones yesterday, freed up about $4 million, which gives Arizona added flexibility. Some people wondering, does this mean they're in on Jalen Ramsey? They have contacted Jacksonville, but the Cardinals don't believe that they're a landing spot for Jalen Ramsey. There has been contact made. They do have additional room now that Chandler Jones has restructured that deal. And if they don't spend the money there, we'll see where they do spend it.
Now, we talked about Jalen Ramsey a lot in the last day or two, ever since Ramsey's trade request came public. Yesterday in particular, we talked about the asking price. Is it more than one first-round pick? If it's multiple first-round picks, it's very difficult to justify doing that. But if it's just one, to the point where we even looked up what the trade was for Darrell Revis. And it wasn't multiple ones for Darrell Revis. And that, if I remember right, that's when he was basically in the prime of his career, and he was Revis Island at that point. It was a first and a fourth, which was conditional to becoming a first and a third, but it wasn't two firsts. So multiple first-round picks, no, that's too much to pay for Jalen Ramsey. One first-round pick, I'd hope the Cardinals got in on that. I would hope the Cardinals would at least think about
that. Yeah, I'm sure they will. I'm sure they will. But the price isn't even close to a number one overall right now. It's not even close. So if it comes down to just the first, then yeah, you obviously have to think about it. You know what you're getting in Jalen Ramsey? You're getting a star player. You're going to have to pay him a lot of money, because when he's due up in a year or so, you're going to have to pay him $20-plus million, as my estimate is probably around $20 million. So if the price drops to, hey, we'll take a first for him, well, you know, then yeah, you know, you've got to get in on it, because you know what you're getting in him, and you don't know what you're getting with the first round pick you're going to make. You don't really know. It's risky, of course, because of the quarterbacks that are coming in next year, as we've discussed. If you end up with a second or third pick, you might have been able to parlay that into a boatload of picks. So that's risky. But at least you know what you're going to get with this kid. This kid's a stud. I mean, he's on TV now. Well, he's a stud. He's a great player. So I do think that if the price drops, they're in. But I do not believe that the move made today with Chandler Jones had anything to do with putting money in place to go get Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah, and I want to talk about that in a second. But just to kind of highlight this, let me phrase the question to our audience this way. Hassan Reddick or Jalen Ramsey? Robert Kondici or Jalen Ramsey?
You taking the last couple of first-round draft picks?
DJ Humphreys or Jalen Ramsey, right? Josh Jalen Rosen Ramsey. Or Jalen Ramsey.
Yes.
I mean, it's not...
Kyler Murray or Jalen Ramsey.
See, now that's the one where I kind of go, okay, let's put a pause on that, right? Because Kyler Murray, is so far, is playing the part of the future franchise quarterback very, very well. So he would be the one I'd go, I don't know if I'd make that exchange. But just about every other guy they've drafted in the first round since, in the time between Patrick Peterson and Kyler Murray, all right? But every first round pick between Peterson and Murray, I don't think there is one of them that I would say, oh, I'd rather have him than Jalen Ramsey.
You know what you're getting.
Not one.
You know what you're getting. You do. Listen, I'd probably do it. I would probably give up my first round pick for Jalen Ramsey. Even though I have Patrick Peterson, and even though I have Byron Murphy, who is a stud in the making, I don't believe they would trade Patrick Peterson either if they did trade for Jalen Ramsey. I don't think they would.
Now, my opinion, I would.
You would, because you'd rather get something beautiful. You'd rather turn Patrick Peterson into Jalen Ramsey and then hold on to a first round pick.
Right.
I understand.
And hope that whatever I gave up to get Ramsey, I can at least kind of get back in a Peterson trade.
And I gain
right?
6 years in age.
And I gain 6 years
six
in age.
6 years in age.
And even though I'm going to have to pay Jalen Ramsey a crap ton of money, I don't care, because I think Jalen Ramsey is worth a crap ton of money. He's 24 years old. He is arguably the best cornerback in the league. So for me, that's I'm trading Patrick Peterson if I acquire
Patrick
Jalen
Peterson,
Ramsey.
I think Patrick Peterson's better than Jalen Ramsey.
Do you?
I think so, yeah.
But
Jalen's more physical. I'm saying right now, today, I think Patrick Peterson's a better cornerback. I'd rather have Patrick today. But as you project forward,
Two years from now, I want Jalen Ramsey. 3 years from now,
yeah. Listen, Patrick's fantastic. I mean, Patrick Peterson, he's a great football player. Great football player.
I'm just thinking long term. I'm just thinking
long
big picture.
Yeah, yeah, long term, it makes sense.
But let's go back to the crux of
okay,
all
let's
this.
Go.
You don't think that today's move was made with any of this in mind?
No, I think today's move was made because they are really in a bad cap situation. They're really up against it. They don't have much cap space. It's insurance protection. If somebody goes down, if they have an injury, they need to be the ability to be able to sign somebody. And this gives them that. Or trade for somebody. The trade deadline's coming up. If they have an injury this week or next week, can they make a trade for a player? It'd be really hard because they just don't have the cap space. For various reasons, they just don't have the cap space. So I think
it's mostly a dead cap reason, right? They've got the fourth most dead cap space in all of the NFL, I think. I mean, the dead cap charges. And all those disappear next year, but for right now, that's a big reason why they don't have any cap space.
They're paying
guys to not be here, in essence, right now. That's killing a lot of their space.
So the reason, in my belief, what I'm gonna say to you is that the reason they freed up the money is, number one, insurance protection in case somebody goes down. Number two, the ability to extend their own guys. And number three would be a trade. I mean, they didn't free up enough money. It's like they didn't just free up $15 million. Okay?
No, but I think somebody in the Cardinals media today, it might have been Revenge of the Birds, pointed out that they freed up enough cap space to be able to get him this year. That based off of what he's making this year, they could go get Jalen Ramsey this year. And then next year, obviously, they've got $75 to $100 million in cap space, and then they could extend them and do all that. But it's enough money that they could afford to add him to the roster this year if they wanted to. Our friends over at Revenge of the Birds, this was, again, early this morning when everybody was just speculating. They put it in baseball terms. Creating this cap space to trade for tackle Trent Williams, they called that a grand slam. Creating this cap space to trade for cornerback Jalen Ramsey, they called that a grand slam. Claiming defensive end Taco Charlton, they called that a two-run double. And they said, here are some possible base hits. Tight end Luke Wilson, running back Alfred Morris, running back Thomas Rawls, running back Zach Zenner are base hits that they could do with the space that they created. Now,
yeah.
For me, I'm gonna tell you the tackle every single time because they've just had such a hard time finding that guy, even though he's older.
I said no on Taco Charlton yesterday. I'll say no on Trent Williams. The only guy Taco Charlton was a no, I said yesterday. No, he got claimed by Miami today. Trent Williams is going to be a no too. Jalen Ramsey is a possibility, but again, as I keep saying, if the price tag goes down. But also think about this. Just think about it. Could extend some of their own guys. Could use that money in case there's an injury. It doesn't necessarily mean that they're freeing up this money to go do something right now. Like, they have one thing in mind that they're going to do. I don't believe that's the case. But they are. And they work out guys, because when you hear about the tight ends coming in and the running backs coming in, the Cardinals work out guys every week.
Sure.
Just to kind of stay ahead of the curve and see what players are available, see who's in shape, see who's not, and see who they like.
But I think we can all agree the timing of it all is curious, right?
Oh,
it's the timing of it all
of course.
I mean, especially when you hear Ian Rappaport on the NFL Network today, he's talking about Jalen Ramsey could be somebody else's property this time tomorrow.
Well, Doug Marone mentioned that Jalen Ramsey's going to play tonight. That is the plan. And from what I'm told, the Jaguars have basically told teams interested in potentially trading for Ramsey. They want to get through the game. They want to win it and then readdress the situation. Tomorrow is a more likely target date for a Jalen Ramsey trade. I know there are teams interested, several teams interested. This is one of the best young players in the NFL.
To the point where Schefter reported this morning that a team called the league just to clarify the rules and said, if he plays for the Jags on Thursday, can he play for us on Sunday?
No way.
And the answer is no.
Hell no.
You're not allowed to. The rules say you're not allowed to. You can only be on one 46-man active roster per week. But some teams said, hey, just double check
this
in.
Starts a new week.
Right. Well, no, it doesn't. It doesn't for all the other 30 teams in the NFL who aren't playing tonight. It's still week 3. So if he's on the 46-man roster for the Jags for week three, he can't be on anybody else's 46-man roster for week three. So he can't play on Sunday.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
They're on the same timeline.
They're on the same timeline with the other teams. But one team just called the league to check, just to be sure. Can we play him? We can't, right? No.
By
we can't play
him. Can I play him?
Yeah. Somebody asked, though.
He's playing today.
Which is odd. I still think that's so weird that he's playing. Boy, if he gets hurt. But the Dolphins played Minkah Fitzpatrick, and they traded him 24 hours after they did it, too. They obviously weren't afraid. The Arizona Cardinals made some moves with their salary cap space. They also, as Gambo mentioned a second ago, brought in some running backs for tryouts a couple of days ago. What does that say about David Johnson and his future? We'll talk about that coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show. Welcome back to the Burns and Gambo Show. John Gambadero, Dave Burns, hanging out with you on this Thursday afternoon. We are live from the Ochsin Community Studios. Cardinals-Panthers coming up on Sunday. On the ringer.com today, what's funny about it, Gambo, is I think it was meant to be a compliment. And I don't know if I'm taking it as a compliment. I'll explain what I mean here in a second.
Okay.
Story is headlined, the most meaningful NFL stats through 2 weeks of action. Okay?
The most meaningful NFL stats. Okay.
Okay.
I'm ready.
Number one, the air raid is in full force in Arizona. Okay?
Nine air raid quarterbacks going this week, but it's in full effect in Arizona. Okay?
The air raid is in full force in Arizona, and they throw out a lot of the stats that we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks.
The ones that stick out to me, 2 weeks in a row, Kyler Murray has thrown for over 300 yards. 2 weeks in a row, Kyler Murray has had 25-plus completions.
Okay, here's a couple of others.
Okay, give me
22.23 seconds, the time the Cardinals take between plays. Second lowest in the league, according to Football Outsiders. The Cardinals going no huddle on 54% of their plays,
which is a huge advantage over the second base.
By far the highest in the league. 10 personnel, 64% of the time. The NFL average is 4%. So everything's good so far. Okay, they're playing fast and no huddle and 10 personnel. We knew that. We knew this. We knew that. And then they get to this one. And I think they meant this as a compliment, and I don't know if I take it as one. Zero. The number of 8-man boxes David Johnson has faced in 2019, according to NFL Next Generation stats.
Really?
Zero. He hasn't seen an 8-man box all year.
Wow.
Zero.
Seen a lot of 7-man boxes. Seven up there.
Yeah, but seven is kind of typical, right? I mean, seven is... when you say 8-man box, I hear we are going to take you away.
Take the runaway, right.
We're gonna put an extra man down there, and we're going to take David Johnson out of the equation. And the reason why I read that off with trepidation is that if he's faced him zero times, I think it's fair to wonder if David Johnson has fully taken advantage of the fact that he has faced an 8-man box zero times this year, especially after what he did a year ago.
Yeah. You know, David Johnson's best days were really as a pass catcher, right? They're not really using him in that way, and they certainly didn't last week. I don't know what the identity of this offense is right now. You know, I don't know what the identity is. I mean, we see that they want to play fast and they want to go no huddle, but I still want to see more of an identity. If anything, if we had to identify an identity now, it'd be four wide receivers, 10 personnel. That's the identity. That's what they're playing so much. It's interesting with David Johnson because, you know, what is the best way to use him? Is it as a pass catcher? Is it a running back? You want to give him the ball 25 times a game. Their pass-to-run ratio, I mean, it's got to be the biggest differential in the league.
They don't have they don't have the fewest carries in the league. Now, their ratio, I don't know. I didn't look at the ratio. I think I read, and I have to look at the stats to be sure, there are three or four teams that actually have fewer carries than the Cardinals do, which kind of surprised me. But the run-to-pass ratio, it's got to be, I can't imagine there's a team in the league that has more of a skewed number in that perspective than the Cardinals do. But just the sheer number of just nothing but rushing attempts, I think there are actually a few teams that have fewer than the Cardinals do this year.
Okay. I would imagine Miami, right? Because you got to throw the ball the whole time. Yeah, some of these teams that get behind a lot might have to throw the ball a whole bunch. Cardinals have been behind in both games. That could be a if they get a lead, would they run the ball more? I mean, that's going to be one of the fascinating. What's going to happen when the Arizona Cardinals have a lead in a football game?
I was thinking about that today,
how does it change things?
I was wondering how different things become when they're the ones that are up 24-6, you know, in the fourth quarter. And maybe that's even too big. They're the ones that are up 24-21. With 13 minutes to go in the game, are they running the ball a lot more? Are they slowing it down, trying to kill the clock? Are they going 54% no huddle? Are they going 64% 10 personnel when they're trying to protect the lead rather than chase the lead? We won't know until they get there, but I'll be curious to see how much the circumstances dictate. But back to David Johnson for a second. We've spoken all week long about our level of concern for David Johnson. And we've heard about it too. But I tell you what, from fans on social media, and admittedly, they can tend to be a little overly critical from time to time. People like to take their shots on social media. But even people here at the station, even people that you're friends with back at home, people in the gym, people you bump into here, people there, that's one of the first things they want to talk about. What's wrong with David Johnson? Why isn't David Johnson the same guy he was a few years ago? They wonder about the contract. They wonder about his physicality and whether he still plays the game as hard as he once did back in 2016. He has become a real focal point early on in this season for the Cardinals. A guy we are watching every single week to see, who are you? What are you about? How hard are you playing? And are you playing hard enough to justify your role in this offense?
Man, it is terrible to question a guy's effort, isn't it? Now, I mean, if you're questioning a guy's effort, like your effort out there, people talk about him, like, he looks slower, right? He's not hitting the holes. And, you know, I mean, David, we know what he's capable of. But, I mean, that was a long time ago. I mean, is that it? Like, is that the only great year you're going to have out of David Johnson? Be out of this league in no time. Now, I've had people ask me, can they turn him into a wide receiver? Can they do this? Listen, there's ways to use David Johnson. They used him in the first game, and he was efficient. 137 all-purpose yards in the first game.
137 yards.
Look,
from scrimmage.
Yeah. You give me that every game, I'll take it. Give me that every game, I will take 137 all-purpose yards. But, man, they've got a big investment in him. So there's got to be a commitment to get him going. Yeah. There has to be.
David Johnson ignores the outside criticism.
I don't see it, so I don't know.
Does it bother you to hear it?
No, I've been there's always people saying stuff. I've learned how to, you know, ignore it.
Says the mismatches, and that was the point of the Ringer article. He's faced 8 men in the box 0 times because of the mismatches that he gets from 10 personnel, and he talked about that.
We do see a lot more nickel, a lot more DBs instead of linebackers on the field. So honestly, the last 2 games that I've been split out, it's always been a safety. I haven't got much of a linebacker on me, and so that helps out as well, especially in the running game because they have a smaller guy instead of a linebacker in the box.
But on the lack of run plays so far,
I think it's all the situation. You know, when we're losing, you know, we kind of have to pass. And so I think it really comes down to, you know, what's going on in the game.
That's it. When we're losing, we kind of have to pass.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why I want to see what happens with the lead. If they get the lead, will Cliff run the ball more? Or is it just that's not the way they play? Right? What's the identity of the offense? What is the identity? Right now, if I said, what do you think the identity of this offense is?
4 wide. 10 personnel.
10 personnel. Throw the football.
That's the identity of the offense.
Yeah.
But you do 10 personnel. We saw this in week 1 against the Lions. You can run and run effectively out of 10 personnel. The Cardinals did it against the Lions. I think they averaged 5.3 yards per carry when running out of 10 personnel. David Johnson in particular ran very well that week against 10. So this whole 8 men in a box thing against the Lions, David Johnson used that to his advantage. He gained over 5 yards per carry when operating out of 10 personnel. Last week against Baltimore, obviously not so much, and the circumstances of the game dictated. I think the question with David Johnson is twofold. Number one, it's are they using him enough? And that goes into the game situation answer and the fact that they've been behind in these first 2 games. But number two, when they do use him, is he giving you everything he's got? Every ounce in the tank, is he giving it to you? Because there are fans out there who are questioning
that. why? Let me ask you a question. I mean, real honestly, why wouldn't he be?
Because you don't want to get hurt.
Why?
Because you don't want. I'm giving you an answer. Because you don't want to get hurt. I'm speaking hypothetically here. I'm not talking specifically
I'm
about David
run
Johnson.
Slower, so I don't get hurt.
I'm going to run more cautiously because I don't want to get hurt. I'm going
to
run.
I'm going to make it easier for guys to tackle me because I'm going to run slower so I get tackled.
I'm not going
to
run less physical.
I'm going to run less
run through defenders.
Physical because I don't want to get hurt. That's the main reason. That's
okay. I'm just asking.
Don't you think? Don't you?
I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I see what everybody else is talking about. I see
right.
it.
That's
you
the
know,
main
it doesn't
reason.
Hit the holes as quick. Seems a little bit slower. I can't imagine that he's afraid of contact. He's a big son of a gun. He's gonna run people over. But time will tell, right? I mean,
time
if he
tell.
Shies away from hits, and I mean, I like to see what happens when he gets down the field and he's got a smaller corner of safety. Is he gonna try to run that guy over or step out of bounds?
Yeah, that air raid quarterback Gardner Minshew just threw a touchdown toss. Jags are up 6-0 over the Titans 2 minutes in on Thursday Night Football. Kyler Murray represents hope for the future of the Arizona Cardinals, but he's doing more than that. He's serving another role. He's Larry Fitzgerald's fountain of youth. We'll explain how next on the Burns and Gambo Show. All right, Jordan doesn't know we're doing this, but I got to play something here for you, Jordan. You ready for this? All right, here we go.
Straight up 2 o'clock on this Thursday afternoon. Good afternoon and welcome into today's edition of the Burns and Gambo Show here on Arizona Sports 98.7 FM. I am your host, Dave Burns, along the side, the one, the only, John Gambadora. Gambo, how you doing? Burnsy, what is going on? And then who knows what Gambo's going to say next.
Our listeners.
Oh, that's great.
Our listeners did that in his office today.
That's awesome.
And sent us the video of it.
He says, yeah. He says,
I have nothing
I
to
walk
work.
Around the office repeating this and decided you all should see the impact you're having in the valley. Burnsy, excuse the mistake. Good news is you have nothing to worry about. This Dave stealing your job.
That was from Dave Shrine, sent us that. Wow, that was...
Do you actually do that in front of people? Or is that just in an office by yourself?
He's in an office. I don't know if there's other people.
Somebody's
there,
videotaping him.
So he's doing it in front of somebody, and he just got some airplay on the big show here. So, okay, Dave, thank you.
That's good.
He had it word for word. I tell you what, maybe I need to mix it up a little bit. He had it exactly word for word. So,
you keep doing what you do.
Bravo, Dave. Slow clap right there. Bravo.
We enjoyed that.
That's how we start the show. We did. Gambo showed it to me. I'm like, oh. We have
Anytime
to play that
you can
on the
do
air.
A funny impersonation of us or whatever type, we enjoy it.
Larry Fitzgerald is off to, statistically, he's off to one of the best starts of his career. There's only been one other year in which he had more receiving yards through the first two games of a season than he has had this year. And he's never started a season with back-to-back 100-yard games before. Never before. He started a season with more yards through the first two games, but never back-to-back 100-yard games. It is. It's crazy.
One of the greatest receivers of all time.
Here's what's crazy about it, from my perspective. So Fitz establishes himself as one of the best wide receivers in the history of the NFL. Here comes Bruce Arians and says, yeah, but I want you in the slot. And Fitz goes, okay, fine. And
I'll never put numbers up like I used to.
Yep, he didn't like it at first. Eventually, he got used to it. He told us, I'll never put up numbers like I used to. And we said, why? And he said, because of the way I'm used in this offense. And yet, he continued to put up incredible numbers. Here he is, and it's almost like the Bruce Arians era was the donut hole of his career. Started as a receiver, putting up big numbers. Then in the middle, went to the slot. Put up a different kind of big numbers, and now he's almost back to being the guy he was at the beginning of his career. 40-yard catches, 100-yard games, deep threat. Larry Fitzgerald is a deep threat.
Back to the beginning of his career.
It's almost like he's come back to the future, back to full circle where he was at the beginning.
When he was with Kurt Warner, a lot of the passes were the mid-range to long-range pass, right? You know, you want to get outside of the 10-yard zone. You want to go 10 to 15, you know, and then, you know, 15 to 25, a lot of the deeper passes. Under Bruce Arians, a lot of it was the shorter intermediate stuff. A lot of that stuff was, you know, the 0 to 10-yard stuff. You know, if you want to break it down into categories like 0 to 10, 10 to 20, 20 plus, With Kurt Warner, a lot of it was the 10 to 20, and some of it was the 20 plus. With Bruce, most of it was in the 0 to 10 range. I'm going to be in the slot, I'm going to catch it, and then, you know, a couple yards after the catch, but not a lot of the big 40-yard plays.
And he was asked about that today, about not being a deep threat when B.A. was here.
Man, honestly, every coach has different philosophies and things, and I just try to make myself indispensable, you know, knowing what I'm supposed to do, make the plays I'm supposed to make, and, you know, when you give an opportunity, you have to capitalize. I've been given an opportunity early, and I make the most of it. Hopefully, you know, my number's called, you know, as the season goes on, never continue to execute.
You know, he said exactly what you would expect Fitz to say about such things, but the numbers through two games, and I understand it's just two games. We all understand it's just two games, but they don't lie. I mean, story on ESPN.com today. Murray has Larry Fitzgerald off to the best start of his career. 100 yards in his first two games for the first time ever in his career. In fact, can you name the Cardinals receiver, the last Cardinals receiver to open a season with back-to-back 100-yard receiving games? Because it wasn't Fitz. He's never done it before.
Anquan Boldin.
David Boston. David Boston. The last time a Cardinals wide receiver opened a season with back-to-back 100-yard games. 217 receiving yards. That's the second most in his career through first two games. And here's the amazing and yet not amazing at all part about Larry Fitzgerald. This stat from Josh Weinfuss. He is averaging just 2.3 yards of separation this season. That is the fourth lowest among wide receivers with at least 10 catches this year.
Larry's never been a separation guy.
Nope.
It's not a burner. It's not a burner. He's a body control. I'm going to put my, I'm going
catch
to.
Catch radius, hands.
Sure. Yeah, I'm going to go up. You're not going to catch it. He's always been well covered.
Horseshoes.
Larry's not a guy to get. He's not Ted Ginn Jr. He's not John Brown. He's not, he's not J.J. Nelson. He's not going to burn. He's going to run a good route.
Yeah.
And you're going to put the ball up and he's going to find a way to get better body positioning than the defensive back who's covering him and come up and come down with the ball. He's got great body control.
Horseshoes, hand grenades, and fits. Just get it close.
Yeah. Throw it up. Yeah.
Just get it close. I mean,
do you remember on the final drive against the Ravens, they literally just threw one up on third down and just hoping Fitz would, and had no idea where it was. Murray threw it up, and it was an incomplete pass, but it was just, I'm going to throw it up and hope, because the blitz was coming, and Murray just threw it up. It landed incomplete. It bounced on empty turf, and it was just like, I'm going to just try to put it somewhere in Fitz's vicinity to see if he can come up with it.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea where this one's going, because I just got to chuck it up there, but I'm going to hope Fitz comes down with it.
He needs 10 more catches to pass Tony Gonzalez, number two all time. And then I'm just doing the math real quick. He needs 233 catches to catch Jerry Rice, number one receptions all time.
Write down this. Ready?
Yeah.
Write down this. September 19th.
September 19th.
Okay. 2019.
Okay.
He's coming back and playing next year. Write that down.
Is that the day?
Jordan, write that down. Put that in
your list. In all honesty, why would he walk away right now?
I don't know why he would.
He's coming back and playing next year.
He's
going to
make another $11 million next year.
Playing at a high level.
Playing at a high level.
With a young quarterback.
And having more fun than he's had in years.
Yep.
He's having more fun.
I mean, he's got to be enjoying
this. Put that
this.
In the audio vault. September 19th, Larry Fitzgerald's going to come back and play next year. I'll be shocked if he doesn't.
Put that
I'll go car payment on this one.
Yeah.
I don't even do it now. I'm not doing a lunch.
You're going car payment.
Car payment. He's coming back and
car
play next
payment
year.
That Larry Fitzgerald will play next year.
Yeah, two games in. Unless something like happens and something drastic happens, I don't even want to bring it up. I don't know. But if something bad happened, but as long as he stays healthy and has a good season, yeah, he's coming back and playing next year. Jordan, having too much fun not to.
Put that in the September audio file, if you would, please. I know you have to create a new one for that because we don't have that one. It's the 13th month of the year. It's September. All right. September 19th, 2019.
He's coming back and playing.
Wow. 233 catches away.
Maybe that's what the money's for. Maybe they're freeing up money
Fitz.
To extend Larry Fitzgerald. No, I don't know.
I'm like, do you know something? Oh,
no.
Wow. The Jags are putting it to the Titans. They're already up 14-0. Gardner Minshew.
Hey, can I just say this? Marcus Mariota sucks. He sucks.
Should we put that in the September file, too?
Yeah. He's a backup quarterback next year, Marcus Mariota.
Let's put that in the September 19th file while we're at it.
I would not want Marcus Mariota as my quarterback. You can have him.
Have you subscribed to the Burns and Gambo podcast? If you subscribe right now on your iPhone and your Android, you'll never miss any of the show. Burns and Gambo brought to you this week by your Valley Chevy dealer, and we thank you for downloading the show and listening whenever you want on the podcast. They're the two biggest stories surrounding the Cardinals. Why did they restructure Chandler Jones's contract now? And will Cam Newton play on Sunday? We'll tell you what we know on both fronts next on the Burns and Gambo Show. All right, so we've decided here on the Burns and Gambo Show that Gardner Minshew is kind of a cross between the lead singer of the Red Hot Chili Peppers and Ben Stiller from Dodgeball. It's kind of rocking both of those looks. And by the way,
you know, Vinny, go ahead.
You say what you're going to say first, because mine's on a different subject.
All right, that's so, rad.
Vinny was saying something, because Vinny has a lot of time on his hands.
Wow.
He got some kind of...
You hear that, Vinny? That's a shot.
Gardner Minshew gets... I can't even say it. He got an endorsement or for worth over $1 million to be like
an adult entertainer. There's always a way to phrase it.
From the story I read, it wasn't wanting him to be an adult entertainer. It was wanting him to conduct nude workouts, which he apparently already does on their website, which is a adult themed website.
He already does nude workouts?
Yeah, there was a story like 2 weeks ago that came out that he comes in after practice and does like calisthenics, basically either in a jock strap or completely nude in the Jaguars locker room.
I only heard this story because of Murata.
We blame Murata. When in doubt, blame Vinny.
I'm looking at it now. Adult entertainment site Cam Soda has offered Gardner Minshew an endorsement deal to lead weekly online fitness classes.
Wow. I don't know about that. I just know that if you put him on a dodgeball court, he would look just like Ben Stiller. And if you put him next to Flea, he would look just like the lead singer of Red Hot Chili Peppers. So he fits either way.
I'll reach out to Cam Soda, Tom. I'll take your offer.
I feel shocked.
Stop. Please
what,
tell
do
me.
Do some calisthenics?
Please tell me you did not just suggest to our audience...
Calisthenics and underwear. You wouldn't take $1 million for that?
They wouldn't give you $1 million for that. And you're high if you think that you're worth $1 million for that.
What makes this Gardner Minshew guy so special?
You actually think you could pull that off. Saying, that's like, the funny part.
My body looks pretty good.
Oh, God.
It's Gardner Minshew. What does he look like? Makes him so special.
Oh, Gambo. Gambo, 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 Gambo. You know what? I'm going to save you from yourself. We're going to change the topic here to things that people actually give a crap about. And we're going to start with Adam Schefter mentioning the restructuring of Chandler Jones's contract this morning and what it might mean.
Well, the Cardinals restructured the contract of Chandler Jones yesterday, freed up about $4 million, which gives Arizona added flexibility. Some people wondering, does this mean they're in on Jalen Ramsey? They have contacted Jacksonville, but the Cardinals don't believe that they're a landing spot for Jalen Ramsey. There has been contact made. They do have additional room now that Chandler Jones has restructured that deal. And if they don't spend the money there, we'll see where they do spend it.
It's been our top story of the day. They did restructure the contract to Chandler Jones. It is not necessarily a precursor to a move for Jalen Ramsey or anybody else. This is what we've been talking about mostly all day long, but refresh our audience if they're just tuning in. That's not what this is about necessarily.
No, not necessarily. The Cardinals were really up against the cap. They didn't have much money under the cap at all. So they needed to make a move to try to create some flexibility for them. What this does is it allows them to do a couple of different things if they choose to go in that direction. One, it gives them, you know, the freedom, the protection in case somebody gets injured or goes down, they need to sign somebody. Well, now they have the money to sign somebody. If they have to make a trade for somebody because somebody went down, they've got the ability to make a trade for somebody. So they weren't in a good cap space. This helps them out a little bit, gives them a little bit of breathing room to go do something like that. The other thing it allows them to do is if they want to extend any of their own players, they can extend some of their own players now because they have the extra cap space for this year. So that's a possibility too. This doesn't doesn't look, they're not getting Trent Williams. I said yesterday they weren't getting Taco. Ramsey is an option for them, but it would take Jacksonville's price tag coming down for more than what they're asking right now. So I'm not going to say he's out. I mean, it's possible. I think it's doubtful, but I it's possible on Ramsey. So I don't think this money was necessarily to go get Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah.
I just think that this money is available for them to, you know, go to go get a player. If somebody goes down, if they have an injury, if they've got to sign somebody, or if they want to extend any of their own players, it's a lot easier now.
I do think, and I will continue to think, that if the price does come down and it just turns into a just one first rounder, well, there are not very many teams in this league who are going to have a better first rounder to offer than the Arizona Cardinals will. And that gives them an advantage if that's something they want to pursue. So that's what's going on there with the free cap space and what they might or might not do with it. The other story of the day comes to us from the Carolina Panthers. Once again, Cam Newton did not practice. Once again, Ron Rivera was given an opportunity to say Cam is not playing this weekend and Kyle Allen is, but he didn't do it. We still, you know, say, hey, we'll have more later. We'll have more later for you. We just don't know. To the point where he walked out of his press conference today.
Would you think Cam would travel in either event, or would that be decided tomorrow?
See, you guys want to watch, sit there and watch, so you'll have to wait and see. I'm not going to talk about it anymore, guys. I mean, let's talk about Arizona. I mean, I haven't really talked about Arizona, you know, so it'd be good to answer those kind of questions.
Cam, though.
I know it's about Cam, but that's, you know, we won't. I don't know anymore until tomorrow. So let's just, you know, let's talk about Arizona. If not, there's no reason for me to stand here.
And you felt before the opener, you were 100% confident he was going to be ready to go. Where are you on that level now?
I just asked you to ask some questions about somebody else. I'm not going to do this anymore, okay? I told you, I won't know anything until tomorrow. Okay? Thank you.
Golly.
Seriously, was that a golly?
There was a golly. 100% it was a golly.
Who says golly anymore? Who?
Golly.
Who in the name of Jim Nabors says golly anymore? Nobody.
Gomer Pyle?
Well, that's Jim Nabors.
Well, that was Jim Nabors? I didn't know that. I just know him as Gomer Pyle.
Jim Nabors played Gomer Pyle.
I don't know that.
I know you don't know
I just
that.
Know Gomer
it's
Pyle.
It's funny that I said it and you followed it up with that. And the beep.
Think
the
about
beep,
life would like that show?
No. The beep you heard was the PR guy for the Carolina Panthers.
Get the door open.
Opening the door.
Open the door.
Open door. Exit Ron Rivera. What was that? Play it again for me.
Golly.
And then when he left, all the media looked at each other. Got a story.
Yeah,
got a story. Let's
I know
go.
What I'm right about
I
tomorrow.
Know what I'm right about. I don't want to write about the Cardinals. I'm going to write about Ron Rivera's breakdown.
I had a boring story about Chandler Jones all written, but let's just move that to trash. I know what I'm writing right now.
Rivera Bolts press conference.
Time for the Coors Light. What's on tonight? The games we're going to watch this evening. Brought to you by Coors Light. Coors Light Mountain Cold Refreshment made to chill. The Jags and Gardner Minshew up 14-0 over the Titans. Something tells me we're going to be talking tomorrow about Marcus Mariota and just how much trouble he might be in with the Tennessee Titans.
Very good.
Big Red Rage is next. Special guest, Max Williams, going to be on with the fellas
tonight. Done a good job for them. I like him.
We're out of here. We'll see you tomorrow at 2 o'clock here on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Have a good night, everyone.